You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Don't you see? It's so simple. Step one, we Google the biggest flops on Broadway. Step two, we find the crazy stories behind them. Step three, we see how they lose millions of dollars.
Millions?
Broadway isn't cheap. A lot of fancy people want to be producers. Step four, find out why the show won't go on. Step five, end this episode and head to Times Square.
Times Square? That'll never work. Only Broadway successes are in Times Square.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Oh, my gosh.
Are we recording?
We
now?
Are back. Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's been a very long time.
It's been so long.
We didn't record. Well, no. We took off August and September.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we did.
You know what? It was necessary.
Yeah, it was.
We were just having a conversation about burnout. And I think we both felt it.
Yeah.
I feel it in my day job.
Yeah.
You probably do as well.
It's maybe day job and all of the other things that are happening. So the other things that are happening are fun things. And then the day job is what it is.
Yes.
But like I'm tired.
Totally tired. And yeah. I shouldn't even say day job. I should say day jobs.
Right.
And
you work 7 days a week.
And all of my other hustles. Like I just, yeah, I don't give myself a break. And I don't. I don't like to be idle. You
right.
know that about me.
Right.
But I also I need to find a balance because
yeah.
it's so. Oh, hi! Welcome to Theater Geeks Anonymous.
This will be is meant to be a mini-sode.
Yeah.
But because we've been gone a long time, we promise nothing.
We're gonna talk as long as we want to, and you're gonna listen. Maybe. I mean, you don't have to.
Right. It's
but
up
we'd
to
like
you.
It if we'd you like, did.
Yeah. We'd be really happy if you listened to us. So it's not. Today is going to be different. It's not going to be any flops. There's no scandals.
No.
There's technically not even any new work.
No.
So.
Oh, except, well, King Kong. I'm actually really
right,
excited
but
about this.
But this won't be that episode. We'll talk about that in the.
Shh, Pamela, you're getting ahead of yourself.
This episode we'll talk about. If you listen to the episode where we talked about like when this podcast first.
Oh, dear. We're starting off really well here. Okay. Okay, I have to just explain that Sweet Pea never used to be allowed to play with balls in the house because she obsesses over them.
Oh.
But just recently, she noticed where I kept the stash of balls.
No!
Which is like up above.
Why does she have to be so smart?
I don't know. It's a terrier. She's a terrier. So anyway, she saw them all and she just obsessively barked at where they were hidden. And so then I would just give her like one ball at a time, but that wasn't enough because I would put one ball down and she would keep barking at the place where all of them were hidden. So I finally was like, fine, if you want to play with these balls, here are all of the balls. And I threw out, I think there are 8 balls in rotation right now. And so if you hear her barking, it's because it rolled under a table and her poor little 8-inch self can't fit.
I mean, it can, but she doesn't want to do it.
Of course she can. Of course she can fit.
She's just.
But she likes me to get down
on my
hands
high maintenance.
And knees and reach. She's very high maintenance. And yet, I still love her. Oh, and can I also just talk? Okay, I'm sorry. I've got another dog story. And I'm going to tell it before we get to the theater stuff.
Okay.
There's a foster community called Friends with Four Paws, dog fostering Friends with Four Paws here in Astoria. And I've got a friend who is pretty heavily involved in it. And so she texted me and said, hey, we've got this foster dog that really needs a groom, like bath and a haircut. He's in some in bad shape. And I was like, I would love to help. So I gave them a little discount and we scheduled it. Puddles all up in your grill right now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is the dog episode. So we scheduled that grooming for yesterday and Gizmo came.
Such a good name.
Gizmo. I love him. He's got to be like a Yorkie, like a Chihuahua Yorkie mix.
Okay.
He reminds me of Sweet Pea, but he's slightly smaller than she is. Mm-hmm. And I finished his groom, and he was so sweet and so playful, and I almost adopted him on the spot.
There's no like room for three dogs here.
I need another dog like I need a hole in the head. Anywho. Okay,
Who, do you know where he went?
Well, he's with a foster family right now in the Bronx.
Okay.
But no applications have gone in for him. And I said, you know, it's probably because of the way he looks right now.
Yeah.
So
did they put new pictures
I'm hoping
up
they
after?
Did. I gave him a little necktie.
So freaking cute.
It's like neon green and black stripes.
What's the name of your bows thing again?
Oh, Rough Ribbons.
Rough Ribbons.
Like R-U-F-F. Rough
if
Ribbons.
If any listeners have dogs, you should go to at Rough Ribbons.
Yep. On Instagram. Check my ribbons out. I make little dog bows, and they're really cute. But they're not just for hair, because, like, some dogs don't have hair.
Right.
And they still need some bows. They still need to look really adorable. And so for those, I've actually got... I make it out of pantyhose, of all things. And it's super soft and stretchy, it fits right around their neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I have three different colors, black, white, and tan, for all the various colors of dog that I come into contact with.
That's so cute.
So, yeah, Rough Ribbons, check me out. Oh, this is going to be real irritating, isn't it? Okay, sorry, just bear with us, family. Theater Geeks Anonymous family. Okay, hopefully I've got the water bottle. I will spray her every time she barks.
Hopefully we'll get through this. We'll see.
Right. So tell me.
So when Pamela and I first were talking, we that day that we went to Brooklyn, and we... Oh, my Lord.
Oh, man.
Did she sneeze?
She got away. No, that was a hack. That was a hack. She sometimes hacks like an old man.
And she's still barking.
Because she got away from me. Because she knocked into my... It's like they work together. Puddle knocks into the microphone. Sweepy, like, runs away.
All right.
My God.
Get her. You're going to be quiet. You're going to sit in my lap. And you're going to enjoy the show.
Got it.
What a trip. Okay. So now I'm telling it for the maybe you'll cut this out.
Nah, maybe not. We'll have to see how I'm feeling later.
when we were in Brooklyn and we just were like incessantly talking about theater and came up with this podcast idea. One of the things that I said to Pamela was when I was a kid, I would always fall asleep on the couch, especially on Fridays after TGIF on ABC.
Totally.
Who remembers that? Hopefully most of you. And my mom would see that I had not gotten up, and it would be like probably around midnight or something. And I would still be downstairs, and she would come downstairs and be like, "Ebony, it is midnight. Go to bed." And I would be like, "But Mom, theater talk's coming on." So when I found out that the television show Theater Talk had been canceled, and mind you, it was officially announced in September.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Well, here's the thing. It was officially announced in September, but the way that I found out about it was from my Broadway briefing.
Okay.
But it had actually been canceled in July.
Oh.
So we didn't even really know for 3 months. So I was like waiting. I was like, when is my show coming back? I was like, the season starting back up. I used to love to watch the Critics Roundtable about what they were excited about. And now I also listen to the podcast Three on the Isle, because three of the critics from Theater Talk have a podcast that I really, really dig. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit today.
Yeah.
I
would also.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't think mine was like, I can't remember if it was really, really late at night or really, really early in the morning.
Because it would come on at 1 a.m. in Maryland.
Okay. So, I mean, I was Central Time, so that would have been midnight my time.
Yeah.
That might have been right.
Yeah.
That might have been right. My sister, my younger sister, Sarah, and I used to do Friday night up all nights.
So cute.
Where we would go and spend our allowance at the Freedom Station on what the corner. That? Just behind. It's like a gas station just behind.
Okay, like a bodega kind of situation.
Well, no, like a BP. Like an actual gas station.
Okay.
This was in Central Illinois. We don't have bodegas there. We have strip malls. No, but this is just like an actual gas station, but it was like brand new at the time. So it was still really nice and clean.
Yeah.
And we would go there and we would spend our $5 allowances on like deli turkey meat in the bags and, you know, like soda. Well, I used to call it pop, but now I call it soda because that's what everybody calls it here. But I grew up with pop. Anyway, and whatever else we wanted to eat and snack on. Mm-hmm. So we would take that home and we would watch the TGIF and we would watch like the Nickelodeon stuff that we liked. I think Roundhouse was on Friday nights. Those shows. Loved them. And then we would try to stay up all night long. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have to put a stop to this.
Yeah, it's bad. I don't know what... She knew you were coming.
Okay. Now that I've put a stop to the barking, let me finish my story. So we would try to stay up as long into the night as we possibly could. And we actually did a really good job of it. I mean, there was this horrible show on USA called, it was Rhonda Shearer, Up All Night, I think it was called.
Yes.
Up
I know what you're
night.
Talking about.
I'm like,
yes,
all
I do.
She was just all boobs. But as a kid, I never thought that any of this was sexualized. So it was just like a gross B movie. Anywho. Anyway, so.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
At some point in the evening or early on in the morning, we would turn on PBS as kind of a palate cleanser. And so Theater Talks was in that.
Yeah.
But it was also something like as I got older, when I had my own TV in my own room, but I didn't have cable, PBS was one of the only stations you could get. So Theater Talk was one of those shows that I would watch. And it was also because I, you know, in my family was a theater family.
Right.
So I grew up with that and I just loved it. I loved hearing their conversations and I liked thinking like maybe one day I'll know as much as they know. It's so stupid. Or like I'll have an opinion about this because I'll have been able to see it. Like,
I have to tell you though,
that
dream kind of came true because I tweeted about how sad I was.
Yeah.
And Theater Talk wrote back and they said, I'm so glad someone like you has a TV, a show now.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, like, they're proud of us, Pamela.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really neat.
Yeah. 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 So, and for both of us, like, I mean, I was 4 hours from New York, but I didn't go until I was 16, and Central Illinois is a lifetime away.
Well, we've got Chicago, but, you know, I can count on one hand the number of times we were able to get up to Chicago to see a show.
Right.
You know, so, and, you know, and they were great shows.
Yeah.
That is Broadway
caliber. Yeah, Chicago's
caliber.
Great. Yeah.
You know, absolutely.
Their shows come here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they call it Broadway in Chicago. Those, you know, when a show starts.
Right, but also, like, not Second Stage. There's at
Second City?
Yeah, Second City. Mm-hmm. I mean, August, Osage County came from Chicago.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they've got Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
And the Goodman.
Yeah,
they've
it's got, just really good,
theater
great theater
is
there.
Fantastic there.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's also 3 hours from where I grew up, and there were four of us kids. And so, you know, it was, you just kind of had to pick and choose what you were willing to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, but theater... Regardless of that, I think that what Theater Talks did was they brought into little Pamela from Central Illinois' home, or little Johnny who lives in, I'm trying to think of, like, where's the middle
Idaho.
Of nowhere. Or, yeah, exactly, like Oklahoma or some place where, you know, theater isn't as accessible. And they really brought it to life, and they made you feel like, okay, like, this is something that's accessible to me, even if I'm not able to go and actually see a Broadway show.
Yeah, 100%. There would be... I would stay up late and I would watch it, and, you know, you would hope, like, you know, you would hope, or you would dream that, like, maybe one day you could go to New York just to, like, you know, see a show. And, you know, now we both live here, and I mean, I've seen a lot of shows.
Yeah.
And I sometimes, like, I'll sit in a theater and think how ridiculous it is that, like, little me would never have thought I could just be like, hey, so-and-so, do you want to go see a Broadway show today? Right. Like, I can get a ticket for $40. Like, it doesn't make sense in my head. Because little Ebony, this was just like a dream. And so I would watch, like, Theater Talk, and whenever PBS would have great performances on, like, that was how I was able to...
great performances.
Right?
Loved.
Like, The Man Who Came to Dinner with Nathan Lane still lodged in my brain.
Awesome.
Like, great performances. I love it.
Yeah. Les Mis. I mean, like, the concert version of Les Mis for me is... Yeah. It is still so ingrained in my brain. I loved that.
Yeah.
And I remember that my mom actually, during one of the PBS telethons, bought the DVD... Or the... It was a VHS at the time. They didn't have DVDs yet.
No.
But she bought the VHS of that concert version of Les Mis for me for Christmas. It was the best thing in the world. And I probably just destroyed that tape. It was so good.
And that's the thing, like, you could watch a live great performance like that, and then you could go to Theater Talk and you could watch interviews with those people. And so, like, when we were growing up, there was no social media to feel connected to the people on Broadway that you loved. Like, completely. We couldn't just follow Lin-Manuel Miranda on Twitter. We couldn't just follow Laura Benanti on Instagram. Like, that wasn't a thing we could do.
Right.
So Theater Talk was, like, the closest thing you had to that was, like, you were able to watch these people talk about more in-depth. It was sort of like, you know, sorry, guys. But it's like pulling back the curtain. We get to look behind the curtain.
It's true.
You know?
Well, it made it not so daunting to think, how am I supposed to ever become a broad... Like, that was, for me at least, the dream was always there, but, like, how do I do it?
Right.
How does someone get there? Do I have to live in, like, did I have to grow up in New York?
Right.
Because then, I mean, like, you had stories like Bernadette Peters, who actually did grow up in New York.
Right.
So you're like, oh, so I guess that's what you have to do. You just have to be there. But then you've also got, like, other people, like Terrence Mann, who didn't. Yeah. He was in central Midwest. I think he was in Indiana, wasn't he? Or no, like, North Carolina?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I can't remember now. I'm sorry, Terrence.
But it was somewhere that was not New York City.
Right, exactly. Right. And he, you know, and he was one of the big ones when I was growing. Like, when I was finally able to buy my own shows. Yeah. I love him. I love him. We've had that conversation, too. Totally crush on Terrence. Anywho. But it's, you know... They really helped you to see that this was an absolutely possible thing.
Yeah.
And it was, I loved that. I loved that.
Yeah. I wonder how many actors now who grew up, you know, like we did, also being the odd child who was this obsessed with theater. Because, like, for me, although my mom accepted it, like, nobody else in my family... was like me.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I was the only one staying up to watch it. I was I was the only one constantly being told, Ebony, it's late, go to bed. And I was up, like, there would be, like, if Great Performances was on late, I was up watching that. Theater Talk, I was up late. At one point, we had HBO, and there was, like, The Death of a Salesman with Brian Dennehy was on.
Awesome.
And I was up late watching that. My mom was like, Like, you, it got to a point where she would just come in and be like, what are you watching? Yeah. 'Cause she knew it was like some theater thing I was up too late obsessing over. But
yeah,
Theater Talk just brought all of those people like right into your living room, mm-hmm. and made them so personable and personal. And,
well, they were real people.
Yeah, right. And so they just didn't feel like they were, it made them feel less like they were just these far away, mm-hmm. figures that you couldn't grasp. Almost, yeah. like they were like heavenly celestial beings. They just brought them down to earth.
Well, it kind of reminds me of like classic Hollywood from like, yeah. the 30s, 40s, 50s, mm-hmm. where these celebrities were... they were just movie stars. They weren't, right. real people. They were celestial beings. Right. We just could admire them from afar, but we didn't know who they were. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of nice, actually, mm-hmm. because once you did get to know who they were, they kind of disappointed, like people do. And then you've got this weird kind of transitional stage where you've got the magazines, but really all the magazines care about are movie actors, and they, right. don't care a lick about Broadway performers.
It's true.
So... Little Ebony and Little Pamela, mm-hmm. are, you know, we are in love with this art form, mm-hmm. that really we feel like nobody cares about.
Right.
Especially where we are.
Right.
Because we are not, you know, not surrounded by other people that feel the same way that we do.
Right.
You know? So it's, we, you know, I feel like we... I think I thrived on being an outcast at that point, though, because, mm-hmm. I did love it so much,
yeah.
that I was like, I don't care if you can, if you like it, I'm going to like listen to this song. And I would do this a lot. I would bring a CD on my Walkman.
So
yes,
good.
I know, right? When like you could maybe have a day's life of on your batteries, and then you'd have, yeah. to switch them out. And, yeah. that was like four AA batteries, mm-hmm. that are completely, I don't think you even need AA batteries anymore. I feel like it's
mostly
all AAA.
Or anyway. Those little infinity round silver
ones.
Oh
yeah, totally. But anyway, so I would bring my Walkman to school with me, and then, mm-hmm. I'd be like, hey, and I'd pass over my headphones and be like, listen to this song. And it'd be like something from Rent, or it was like, oh, there was this one phrase in Into the Woods, and I can't think of it. It's like something that Jack sings, and I think it's in the opening number, and it just makes me laugh every single time I hear it. And so I would cue it up, and then I'd be like, yeah, listen to this. And then I'd watch their face, mm-hmm. and then I'd go, isn't that hysterical? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, come on, it's great.
Yeah, it's great.
Or when you did find a kindred spirit, mm-hmm. and I'd blast it in my car, and it'd be like, you know, we both reached for the gun from, yeah. Chicago, and we would, the two of us would be singing, and oh yes, so oh, yes, so oh, yes, they both, oh yes, they both, oh yes, they both, you know, we would like, would
so
both, we would both know the words, and it was like the most amazing thing, because it took me forever to learn that, you know? So stupid, but awesome. And yeah.
I'm not far from that even now. Get real excited when I, yeah. That's how it was about Hamilton. That was like,
sure.
5 minutes ago. It's not changed.
I wish that I could like sit and learn the new stuff, mm-hmm. the way that I sat and learned all of the stuff that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have the time anymore. But like, I would listen to it over and over.
Yeah.
Most of the time, the CDs would come with the librettos liner, that,
yeah.
had the liner notes, mm-hmm. that had all of the words, and I would pore over it. If they didn't, I would listen to it and write everything down longhand, and literally listening to it, like, listen to one line, stop, write it all down. Rewind it a little bit. Listen to that again. Make sure all the words were correct. Go on to the next line. I did that with all of Les Mis.
Wow.
That's dedication.
So, but that's like when that audition came,
right.
Pamela had spent like 20 years being ready.
I researched it well before I even thought I had a chance of being,
yeah.
in it. Oh, yeah. Like that's, I mean, God, that's how much I loved it at that point in,
yeah.
time. Like I could spend all my time doing that. And I gladly did. I would make my mixtapes because at the time my car had a cassette,
okay.
Yeah. deck and,
yep.
not a CD player.
Right.
So I would make little mixtapes. And I think I had 10 of them named Mixtape 1, Mixtape 2, Mixtape 3, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You understand.
Well, I had that with CDs because you would get... I had a cassette player in the car,
mm-hmm.
but you could get the adapter.
Yeah, yeah.
So I finagled this situation where, like, you could get the adapter for the CD player, and I put Velcro on my dashboard so that the CD player would stick to the portable CD player would stick to the dashboard. Yes. And like play my nice. That's how
well,
I
see
had.
I did it in reverse. Mm-hmm. I had the cassette adapter for my car, but I would use my CD Walkman.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
oh,
about.
Okay, okay.
And I would put the Velcro
yes,
on the
brilliant.
Thing. Yes.
No, I didn't have the Velcro. That would have been smart. No, mine just skipped every time I hit a bump. Or would like pop open.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that was the best part of the song.
Man, a lot of you are like, I don't know what they're talking
you
about.
You guys have it so good.
You really
and your
do.
MP3 players.
Yeah. No skipping.
Like, all you have to worry about is running out of memory.
Mm-hmm.
We had battery issues.
Well, they have battery issues,
that's
too.
That's true. But you just get to plug it into the wall.
Yeah,
you don't even have an external battery source. You can just plug
so
it in.
So different. It's so different. Yeah, no, I memorize now on my hour-long commute to work.
Nice. Nice. Yeah,
hour-long
my commute's 12 minutes.
Right.
So
there's
that's
no
walking.
Time.
No time at all.
Mm-hmm. There's no time.
No time.
Yeah. So you guys, if you did not watch Theater Talk, then I suggest you go to YouTube and watch it.
Is it on?
Yeah, they're all there.
Nice.
They're all on YouTube. Literally, all you have to do is go to the search in YouTube and search Theater Talk. And theater is spelled correctly.
With an R-E.
The way that we spell it. Thank you. And you will find Susan Haskins and Michael Riedel.
Awesome.
And they will teach you about many, many, many years of theater. And you will love it.
I will say that the format is, for this generation, it's a little difficult. I will say you're going to have a little trouble because it's not like it's not fast enough. If you're used to like the people that have been born in the last 20 to 25 years, I feel like it might. But just stick with it.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of the old ones.
We live in a Netflix and chill society now. It's difficult to have to sit through something that's just a little bit on the slower side. Do you know what I mean?
I guess so. Well, because I think about the other theater shows that you can watch, and I'll be honest, I like the questions on Theater Talk better.
Yeah. Oh, I do too.
I felt like they were...
This is not... I'm just warning. This is a potential warning.
This show is not extra for theater.
It is not.
So if you want TMZ or extra for theater, then that's not this.
That's not this. This is just really interesting stuff. So if you can get past the format, stick with it. I think you'll really enjoy it. If you love theater as much as Ebony and I do.
If you love theater, you'll like Theater Talk.
It's true. I think so too.
And like if you don't, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast.
So listen to Theater Talk.
Yeah.
And listen to our podcast. That'd be awesome.
And send them some goodbye love, because it's really, it's the end of an era.
What's
it's really
the,
upsetting.
Do you know where their Twitter handle is?
Yeah, it's just at Theater Talk.
Okay.
That's their Twitter handle. And they're so
How
nice.
How long have they been on the air? It's got to be
it's 25 years.
It is 25 years. Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a long time.
It's more than some people are married.
And alive. It's true.
I suppose. In a morbid way? Yes. I suppose that's
true.
Yeah,
it's true. Oh, gosh. All right. Well, that's it for this mini-sode. And, a little piece of our childhood is gone. But we loved you, Theater Talk.
Yes.
And you will be so missed.
Yes.
So missed. And that's it for our episode. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon.
Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.